8:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." I'm going to tell you kind of a little sad, quirky story. There was a minister and his family after Christmas service were getting ready to go to South Padre Island, and it's a pretty long trip for them. They got there and went into the office. They had rented this condo. They went in the office to get the key, and the lady in the office was on the phone speaking Spanish to someone, so he didn't understand what she was saying. And the longer he waited, the more irritated he got, because this has already been a long trip and he wanted to go settle down. Well, finally, she looked up at him and she said, "I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but we have a small problem, a really small problem. The maid was cleaning out one of our condos, and when she went into the bedroom, she found a baby lying on the bed in its car seat." The minister was no longer irritated, but kind of concerned. He says, "Was the baby all right?" She said, "Yeah, the baby's fine. Maid said that the baby's sleeping, but there are no parents around. Evidently, they left the baby on the bed, loaded up their car, and drove off, forgetting to go back for the baby." They went ahead and checked into the condo, and a little bit later, he went back to the office, and he asked, "Have the parents returned?" The lady in the office says, "Yes. An embarrassed father came back to get the baby he had left behind." I tell you that story because it kind of goes along with what's happening in our churches today. We have forgotten something very important. We have left something behind. And that's our discipleship, our making disciples. Jesus' great commission: go out and make disciples of all nations. And we have forgotten that. You look at church news, not just Methodist church news, but any denomination, you look at the church news and you'll see that churches are failing all over the country. Not just Methodists, but Baptists and Church of Christ and Presbyterians and all of them. The Methodist Church has lost 67,000 members just last year. Attendance of Sunday school and worship is declining. The Episcopal Church has experienced a membership decline of 17%. The Disciples of Christ have dropped 29%. The Presbyterian Church has experienced a 25% decline. And even our Southern Baptist friends, though they seem to be holding on right at the moment, are starting to have inner conflicts and things which may be a sign of trouble for them as well. The response of our church to these problems has sadly been uncertainty and confusion. Like the parents that forgot the baby, we as a church have forgotten what it is to be a disciple. We have forgotten what our mission is as disciples of Jesus Christ in the world. The mission of the church, and therefore our mission as followers of Jesus Christ, is made very clear. Jesus says, "Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." So as we look at the state of the church today, and again, not just our church, but the state of the universal Catholic Church, if you will, the little C Catholic Church, the universal church, as we look at the church today, we are failing in the Great Commission. First of all, we have to get back to the basics. We talked about last Sunday about how to pray, the mechanics of prayer. And we've been kind of talking about prayer a lot lately. It's important. you have a devotional life, and that you pray. There's a young woman went to see her minister. She was going through a very difficult time. She said, "I feel all alone. I don't even think God is concerned about me because I feel so empty on the inside." Minister looked at her and says, "Do you pray or read the Bible on a regular basis?" She shook her head, "No." Well, then the minister says, "Perhaps you are blocking God's presence in your life by never turning to Him. You can't expect to feel God's presence in your life as long as you never seek Him." A lot of us have a slight problem with devotional time. We live in a society that everything is go, 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 go. I got to get here. I got to get there. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. And we just find it difficult to set aside a little bit of time for a devotional. Even if you just set aside 10 minutes a day, read a few verses out of the Bible, talk to God a little bit. We need to feel God's presence in our lives. And if we don't take the time to devote to God, to be present with God, how do we expect Him to be present with us? Y'all have heard the saying, if you feel like there's a distance between you and God, who moved? It wasn't God. We need to get back to the basics. If you'll go back to when you joined the Methodist Church, one of the things in the covenant that you make with the church is that you will support the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts and service and witness. You promise the congregation promises you in front of God that you will pray, you will be present, you will support the church with your gifts and service and witness. And witness and presence kind of go together. You have to not just be present in church, but you have to also have God's presence with you out in your daily lives. Having God's presence with you shows others who you are. There's a minister named Robert Allen who talks about shortly after he moved to his present appointment, called on a couple across the street living in an apartment, and as he left after talking to them, he's walking back to the church, he hears a voice, an elderly voice, call out, "Are you Reverend Allen?" He stopped, he looked around, he didn't see anybody. He thought, maybe I'm hearing things. He started walking again, and there it was again. "Are you Reverend Allen?" He looked around and noticed that there's an elderly woman in one of the apartments sitting in front of the window with the window up. And he says, "Yes, I'm Reverend Allen. What can I do for you?" She says, "Would you mind coming in and talking to me?" So he went to the door, went in and visited her. She told him her name and that she had seen him go into the apartment with the young couple and that she had been a member of the church for almost all her life. She told him she was 94 years old and because of her age, she had health problems which kept her from going to church anymore. But she recognized Reverend Allen from a picture she had seen. And she said, "I want you to know I have prayed for you every day since you were appointed to this church." He said he was stunned with a sense of humility that she had been praying for him. He says, "I think I realized in that moment the sheer power there could be for Jesus Christ and His church if every Christian developed a devotional life. We may have forgotten that source of that real power that lies within the church, that real power that lies within the Holy Spirit which is inside us. We have to reestablish that relationship with God. We need to get closer to Him every day. We must be God's presence in the world. Some people have tried to blame the problems the church is having on the world around us. And that's not really what it's all about. It's more about we've lost God's presence. We've allowed things to happen down through the past 30, 40, 50 years that we shouldn't have. We've allowed them to take prayer out of the schools, Bibles out of the schools, out of our government buildings. The Constitution says freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, yet we've allowed that to happen because we haven't been God's presence in the world. There's a French nun who was 79 years old, basically being forced to retire. She refused. She prayed to God. She said, God, I want you to send me to the most desperate spot on earth. And God answered her prayer. There is a suburb of Cairo, Egypt called the City of Garbage. Literally, it's called the City of Garbage. She was sent there. The City of Garbage is called that because they are the garbage collectors for Cairo. And besides that, they basically live in the garbage. They eat the food out of the garbage and get their clothing out of the garbage. These are desperate people. God answered her prayer. He put her in the most desperate place in the world. But she wasn't going to sit still for that. So she started praying for them and talking to the government officials around there. She started teaching the children and helping them to be better people to the point where they named her Sister Emmanuel. And we all know Emmanuel means God with us. She became God's presence to them people. God was present with her. They witnessed God's presence, and they felt God's presence in their lives because of her. And that is what we are given commission to do. Be present with God and show others that they can also be present with God. It's about presence. Your prayers, your presence. And again, it's not just about being present in church. It's easy to be Christian inside these walls. It's how you are when you walk out that front door that counts. You should have God's presence with you every minute of every day and show people that presence. Showing people who God is and helping them to feel God's presence is an opportunity for all Christians to serve God, because God helps you, you help God. We have to do that. St. Augustine made the comment one time that without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. God uses us to help His world. We become His hands and feet and eyes and ears, and we are to be His presence among those around us. It's interesting how you'll find that people that are devout Christians, they go to church regularly, they're here when the doors are open. But when you talk to them, talk to their coworkers rather, if you talk to one of their coworkers and let them know that, oh, hey, that person is actually a member of my church, sometimes that coworker will look at you and go, really? I've worked with them for 10 years and I have never heard them say anything about God or faith or Christianity. And you're telling me they're a member of your church? We have gotten into this problem in our society where we are either afraid or don't want to express and show God's presence in our life. We have to serve God back, because God has served us. He helps us. And I'm not talking about grabbing somebody by the arm and looking them square in the eye and say, "Are you saved?" You want to stop a conversation about Christianity in a heartbeat, ask somebody if they're saved. The way to go about it is just to talk to them about Christ. And if they are a Christian and they go to church, you'll have a great conversation. If they are not, you might plant a seed that makes them Christian, that helps them to feel God's presence in their lives. But you gotta show them God's presence in your life. And sometimes you have to do it in a different way. Instead of inviting them to church and finding out they're not coming because they feel a little bit uncomfortable about it, find out something about them. There's a particular minister who knew this person in the town where he was ministering who was a very good baseball player. And he had invited him to church several times, wouldn't come. But then he got to thinking, maybe I can use the fact that this guy is a very good baseball player. He was even scouted for professional baseball but didn't quite make the cut. So he approached him one day and he says, "Hey, we're thinking about starting a church baseball league. Do you think you could help us? Do you think you could help us organize this and maybe get the stuff together that we need and maybe help train some of the kids and all these kinds of things?" And the guy lit up. "Oh, you bet. I'm more than happy to help you with that church baseball league." So he didn't invite him to church. He got him to help out something that he was good at. The minister says that after a few weeks, this guy and his family showed up in church one morning. Not too long after that, during an invitation, him and his family came up and joined the church. See, he had been refusing to come to church because he had just been invited to church. But when he found out that he had something that the church could use, some way that he could help the church, even though it was kind of out of the way, it wasn't an actual invitation, he started coming to church. And maybe that's what we need to do. When we're talking to our friends or neighbors or coworkers, find out something about them. Talk to them. Have a conversation with them. Be interested in who they are. Show them God's presence in your life. And if it takes working through some little niche that they're really good at, make them feel important to Christ, needed in the church, you could grow God's kingdom from that. And I know it's a roundabout way of doing it, but hey, whatever works. God knows people need other Christian people. God knows who those people are. He knows how to get them people to come to Him. And if you'll open yourself up, He will show you how to get those people to feel needed and wanted and get them to come to Him. Being a Christian is about discipleship. Being a Christian is about go out into the world and make disciples. It's not about just becoming a Christian. It's about doing the work of Christ, of God. It's about going out and making others disciples and helping them to be better people, be better Christians. And it's not about just filling up the church. It's about bringing people to God. It's about helping people to be good Christians. It's about growing God's kingdom. And God needs our help in doing that, because we are His hands and feet and eyes and ears. God will do it with us and through us if we just let Him do it. So by your prayers, you should be praying at least once a day, hopefully more than that. By your presence, that's being present here and being present with God and showing others that presence. By your gifts, your service, and your witness. And witness goes along with showing people your presence with God. So if we're going to survive as a church, and not just this church, but as a church, we've got to start making disciples. We've got to start finding ways to make people feel needed, make people want to come to church. Because that's what it's all about. Amen.